Only the leagues? Only the Allianz leagues.
A grain of rice. It's going to tip the scale. Just remember that, then.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo. You've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
We're missing what the show. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Morning, guys. How are you all? You're very welcome along to the Examiner's Hurling Show, sponsored by Allianz. We thank them. Don't forget to do it some weeks, but Allianz, fair play to you. Doing a great job. Marco, how are things? We're the only two that were on terra firma here in Ireland last week of the guests line up today.
No, it's a bit like Leo Varadkar, like, and Michal Martin. We sent Michal to America. We sent Sheedy and TJ Ryan to Cheltenham. You know, the boys didn't send back too many winners either there, though, either.
No, TJ was slow enough on the WhatsApp page, wasn't he? He could have been inside in the Mandarin Bar too, Mark.
I said, discussing the demise of Limerick, I said, from what I can gather, JP called in all the troops while they were over in Cheltenham, said, lads, you better get the voice started now fairly lively, like it's getting serious.
And did Julie respond yesterday? Yeah. TJ?
What I was going to say, and Liam will concur, right? Anybody who's been to the National Hunt Festival in Cheltenham, right? It is an amazing atmosphere. It is a special place. And anybody who follows the horses will just have an attraction to the place that will never go away. And it's a little bit like the Munster Championship, Mark, right? Is that in terms of you get loads of tips. Everybody will fancy their horse. And if you go and meet somebody that's connected to Willie Mullins, he'll fancy their horse. And if you meet somebody from Gordon Elliott's stable, they'll fancy their horse. And if you meet somebody from the English stables, Nicky Henderson's or Nichols, they'll fancy their horse. So you get loads of tips. And at the end of the day, you have to make up your own mind. So that's what we did in a lot of occasions. It worked sometimes. It didn't work. We hit the bar with a few, Gaelic Warrior, Mark, as you know. Poor old Jinto was kind of a bit of a setback to us on the Friday. And we had a bit of a tip there for Andy Dufresne on the Wednesday for one of JP's.
Andy Dufresne.
He didn't get us out of jail on this occasion. But brilliant place. And the nightlife was great. Great atmosphere all week. And I couldn't say more. I was with a good crew and a good team as well. Like, and we were in the Centaur there. And I met a couple of right GA crews from up and down the country. And I met a crew there from Mount Sinai in Waterford, and they were having a right time. Sheepo, I think they were one of the crews who needed the wheelbarrow on the Ryanair plane on the way home. And they told me they were leaving on Thursday morning. They were going to have the whole lot on State Man on Friday, Mark. So I'd say they were in some state for the weekend. So I'll leave it to Liam to tell me his side of the story, yeah?
Yeah, in fairness, he said it at Christmas, Liam. Liam, you're welcome along. First outing of the year for you. We didn't see you since the All-Ireland. But you gave us a great show that morning, so good to see the Portro legend with us this morning. Fresh looking, but of course you only did a couple of days over, Liam.
Yeah, I respect my age, not like TJ. 2 days is enough for me over there. I'm still only getting my voice back. But yeah, we flew up Monday. I was actually with his father on the plane on the way over, so they were all lining up. The crack was good. Yeah, as he said, a great festival. You know, we were in the company of Brian Atchison, who was down in engineering, so we came home Thursday morning. Unfortunately, we missed. He had Bob Olinger come over the line on Thursday. But look, it's a great festival. I mean, I'll never forget, you know, we were in the thick of it there for the first race on Tuesday morning when the flag goes up. Like, it is like, you know, it's like the national anthem in All-Ireland final. If you're into horses, like, that's your All-Ireland final when you go to Cheltenham, because the quality of racing, the quality of fair, and as TJ said, everybody thinks their own horse is going to win. But the English got off to a raced off into a 3-0 lead. They're all going around saying, oh, 3-0, 3-0 to the English. And, you know, when you think about it, it was 11-10 going into the last day. You know, Prestbury Cup is a big deal over there. It's sort of the Irish versus the English. And, you know, they just whipped them on 7-0 on Friday.
Willie Mullins
getting five of them. It was just an incredible day for him. But, you know, and again, I think, you know, looking at Paul Townend, you know, when they're picking himself up off the floor after galloping, you know, when he fell on Thursday, the way he reacted and what he went on to do over Thursday and Friday, you know, as a sports person, I thought, like, it really showed massive personal resilience to see the way he got himself up off the ground and just went on again, like, to come back out and do what he did, you know, within an hour, I thought was incredible. So, you know, it's just great to see sports people. And look, suppose Tipperary, we're not going to leave, you know, we're not going to leave without speaking about the wonderful race of Blackmore.
Well done, Liam.
I said it on Friday. We have an absolute gem. Like, she's just incredible. I thought the way she spoke after the race, the way she just carries herself in the saddle is just, I mean, I think she's just so iconic for everyone. I mean, they all talk about, you know, female and having female in sport. And I think that's fantastic. But actually, as an overall role model for sport, I think she's just incredible. I mean, the humility of her in her interviews after the race, I thought was just fantastic. And like, she didn't, like, you know, for anyone that knows horse racing, like where she sat in that Gold Cup, she was in behind, there was a lot of horses in front of her. One, you know, a lot of horses that had hard luck stories. She was brave as you like, and she brought that horse on, and she knew what she had in the tank, jumping the second last. And I just thought the race from start to finish, I thought it was an incredible Gold Cup. You know, probably not as much pace on early on, which probably played to her horse and her strength, but a Plutard 3-1, I was licking my lips, you know. But I went over, I didn't make a lot of money on Tuesday and Wednesday, but there was a sweepstake at the local pub here. And I had four winners Thursday, four winners Friday, and I collected 500 quid in Rye Breen's here in the local pub. So I had more luck at home than I had when I was over there. But a fantastic week. Anyone that's into horses, fantastic week.
Yeah. And Dale, just two other things to add, right, from a coaching point of view and management, what William Mullins and his team are doing, right? And there's a big group of them, like to have 10 winners in Cheltenham at the biggest festival of them all. Like, and they all speak at a team. And I was just reading the Irish Field on Saturday, right? And Willie said he'd score himself 7 out of 10 for the week. That's what he said, he'd score himself, right? He said he got some decisions wrong, which we don't know about, but just an incredible team. And the second thing is, one of the other amazing stories in the week is the horse Flooring Porter. Really, really cheap horse. I think he was bought for something like 5 or 6 grand. You've probably seen James Cahill and a few of the Galway boys. I think his uncle is involved in the syndicate. Another fascinating story about Florin Porter is the lady who led up the horse. She won an All-Ireland medal in 2021 with the Mead Footballers. So she was interviewed afterwards as well in the paper, and she said that, like, leading Florin Porter back in, like, even though it's hard to believe what the Mead Footballers did last year, she said it topped the lot. So that'll just tell you the feeling that she got. So, yeah, so loads of stories. Great fun, great place. Anybody who's got an interest in National Hunt Racing, put it on the list and try and get there at some stage, because it's just magic.
It was a lot of shouting and roaring here in Murty's for Florin Porter. I tell you, we were Flooring Porter, so we decided to get her back in. But, lads, I had an awful dilemma Monday. I sat down and I just picked out three of them, and I did a patent, and I also did a little triple on the three of them. And I had the first two up at 7-2 and 11-4, TJ. So I couldn't get you. I didn't know where Liam Sheedy was at that stage. He was lost in the middle of some Tatterstall's bet or something. So I rang the real racing expert here on the show, who advised me to cash out. And it was on Willie's in the last race, like, you know, the only winner he had on Tuesday. So what was his name? Statler, was it?
Statler.
So watching Statler jumping the lasht, and he going clear. Like, I was thinking of what could be collected out of this bit. But I went to the people who breed them and rear them and sell them on, and that, you know. So it's tough enough to take, TJ. But he said cash out and have a good bet on Statler. So that's what I done. That was as good a Cheltenham week as I ever had. Anyway,
fair play.
Yeah.
It would be very important, Dale, to take a few quid off the table anytime the opportunity arises, and you get a chance to get a few quid of penny power or boils, right? Take it, put it into the pocket, and as Tommy and Brian used to say to me years ago, go away and buy something with it now straight away, because it's only a temporary loan when you're dealing with those fellas.
I kind of said it to Tyleesh, and I said it to Tyleesh, and I didn't tell her the figures in bad now, mind you. But I said, Landers reckons I should cash out. Cash out if he said cash out, she said. So the QG East Cork man won out.
Weren't we very unlucky with the tip that I gave you at Christmas? 40-1, remember, on statement to win at Christmas and win at Cheltenham. And came down at the second last, unfortunately, at Leopardstown. But would have been for small money, we'd got a right touch at 40-1. So I still hung in there. I kept my faith in him. And a good week on the breeding front. We'd two winners on the breeding front. So Aloha won for me. So I have a half sister at home in Fort Nathaniel. She's due tomorrow. and I have a three-part sister to LMA, and by God, I can tell you this much, she got some roaring home, because she collected a lot of knockets around here in Killa and East Cork, I can tell you, on the back of LMA. But she had a cold fall by Dr. Dino last Monday, so if that was a tip in itself, I said, I'm waiting all in on the JP McMahon. And what a ride by Mark Walsh, because last year he got a fair Effingham blinding for me, now I can tell you. But he produced one of the rides of the festival, I would tell you. So it was brilliant. Great to see JP there as well with a couple of winners, TJ.
Yeah, absolutely. Always badly needed. We need all that, Mark. And next year, do you know what? We'll bring you over, yourself and Dela. Bring you over for a couple of days.
You're held to that.
Yeah.
All on the cube, is it? All on the cube. Yeah.
We have connections, Dela. You'll be looked after.
Lenders, are you getting any all night sleep at the moment with all this falling that's going on?
I had to go down and scan 3 mares this morning. Thankfully, I've won beautiful mare. Glenn Ryan, the footballer from Kildare, now the manager, is involved with me. So she, a half-sister, the Grand Voix, who ran for Gordon Elliott on Wednesday, the ground was going against her. But she had a walk in the park called forward 4 weeks ago. And with a big decision to make over the last couple of weeks, who to put her back and forth. So we're looking at walk in the park, or Blue Brazil. We decided to go Blue Brazil and Constitution Hill, who is going to be the real threat to Honeysuckle, I would suggest going forward now, is by Blue Brazil. So she scanned in forward this morning at 7:30 in the morning. So it's been a good morning, Dela. Morning, evening, noon, it doesn't matter. We get the job done here, Dela. You know, so we've no full away at 12 o'clock, don't the bear.
Did you have the rashers and the black pudding and the sausages in afterwards, you did?
Yeah, and reading the paper and a bit of orange juice and get ready for the podcast.
Sure. And what, you hadn't time to watch the Sunday game last night, but it was on too late in the hurling for you.
I was asleep, for God's sake. I did wake up on stage, all right, and I saw the coverage of Cork and Wexford. The old camera work wasn't brilliant, I'd have to say, no. My old eyesight isn't getting great either, so wasn't much watching. Once they announced the team on Saturday night, it was show over, really, like, you know. So there wasn't much to watch.
Wexford were a bit of value at 7-4 after that, weren't they? And your man came good again, Rory O'Connor.
But our man Rory O'Connor, the fantasy legend, clicked again.
There's someone, sorry now for not remembering your name, but someone sent me a private tweet there last night. I'll think of it there in a sec. Say only one man has scored more than 112 for Wexford in the history of hurling, and that is the bold Nicky Rackard, who we saw. It was John Glennon from Wexford. He said, just to tell Landers there against Cork. But a couple of lads have scored 15 points, 112, or maybe, you know, three, four, whatever, adds it up. But Rory matched that yesterday. Only the great Nicky Rackard has scored more than that. So that'll tell you the National League he's having. But Mark, you are under a bit of pressure with Larry coming up behind you there in the fantasy.
Well, Kayla, I be brutally honest now with you, right? Once I finish in front of you, right, I'll be quite happy, right?
Because you're a bad-minded
I'm
man,
off the bottom, a two-time wooden spoon champion, to be leading such an esteemed group of people here. I'm really amazed at myself. And in fairness to Charlie, big help to me. He's only 9 years of age now in June, so he's a big help as well. But Liam, your buddy Liam Cahill didn't do me any second favours over the weekend by leaving off Stephen Bennett, my captain, so I missed out on the double pints as well. But I'm hanging in there, Dale.
He's a bad injury, man.
Come down to Metro. Huh?
He has a bad injury, Mark, Stephen Bennett.
Oh, Jesus. We'll have to move him
out there now. I don't know. It could be one of your rumors. someone texted me that there. Again, to Twitter world. Yeah, you have a lot to play for, I'd say, with the four transfers only. You have a lot of lads involved in the semi-finals. And you also have Neil McManus, who was conveniently rested yesterday. You'll have him against Offaly as well. So, TJ, you had a good week.
Yeah, good week, but playing catch up. But I'm a little bit like an awful lot of the other teams in the league at the moment, Dillo. I have the eye on the championship. I'm going to see it out.
Yeah, Liam, we have to get a team off you for the championship there. We have to get
a team. I see that.
Don't really see. Have we our listeners' league as well there, lads? Have we it in there? We have. Mark, you've slipped back to third in the listeners' league. Tony O'Brien from Galty Rovers. Great score, 3-0-1. I don't know how you're picking them, lads. I've slipped off the front page of that altogether there now. Martin Burke from Rory Ogue, who always goes well. He hadn't a great week either. But Marco, you need just to transfer Cooley and Canley.
I'm going to be listening now intently to the 3D today to get a few snippets as to who's going to be in the league final, because the amount of players having the league final is probably going to determine who takes the first spot. And as you know, Dale, no one remembers second. So it's all about the first spot. But the question is whether you want to be the national winner or just your group. Like, so I'd be quite happy just to be the leader in your group now.
Once I win the Kirkcastle one, I'd be happy enough with that. You know, once I win the club one, I'm happy enough with that. Like, once I beat Higgy, I'm happy with that.
Will you have the wooden spoon for Shawnee McGrath this year? Because there's no way he's going to catch somebody in the bottom.
The 3.4 mention on the Blackrock Road, we will be posting the wooden spoon down to Shawnee.
Shawnee was in Cheltenham as well during the week.
Was he?
He was.
Jesus Christ. Landers, we're the only one. At least you're scanning falls. I'm only scanning the fucking porter. But the Guinness lorry is throwing off a few kegs out there. Badly wanted after the week, though, I have to say.
Yeah,
Liam, you're not seeing any hurling at the moment, really, are you?
No, I was watching it last night.
You're not seeing anything live, though, are you?
I was at the tip match against Dublin. I seen that one live. So that weekend, I was on the Sunday game that weekend. So I got to see all the matches, but I only seen the Tip and Dublin match live the previous week. And I got to see the full round of fixtures that weekend. It looks to me like teams are targeting matches in some cases where they're looking to see, right, we'll go full on here now and see where we're at. And once they see where they're at, they get a good sense of. But no, it'll be interesting to see with managers how many of them feel right now for the teams that are knocked out now, how close they are to having their championship 15 nailed down. Because I suppose that's always the view when you get to the end of the league, that you nearly have 10 or 12 of your starting positions nailed. I think there'll be a big few weeks. I know you've done a lot of discussion last year about the A versus Bs and all the conversation on this pod. So I think the A versus Bs is going to take on a new lease of life in some counties for the next few weeks, because I think there's still some places up for grabs.
How is Benty keeping? Are you going to relegate the Dubs like?
Oh, Jesus, no. I'd much rather be on last week. We had a great win above in Donegal. We weren't beaten up there in 12 years. Says, Jesus, this thing is going really well. But, no answers to him yesterday. They were
topsy-turvy anyway, that Division 1, Barkerry.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but I mean, it's so competitive. I mean, when you see where it's at, there's two teams and 4 points. There's three teams and 5 points. Like, it's just the competitive nature of that Division 1 league is serious now.
You'd be hard to beat in Clonus.
I don't know. When we play Justin, it'd be hard to beat nowhere. You know?
And come here, Marco, you only put out the B team.
That's what they tell me anyway. I suppose a few of the regulars were left on the sideline. Maybe didn't even actually bring them to the sideline. So you knew your fate early that they weren't even going to be interested in bringing on fellas or bringing on a bit of artillery to see whether they could claw back the lead that Wexford had. So I think they probably looked at the fact that they knew they were in the semi-final. There was probably a decision made. I would say, listen, the six or seven fellas that they left out are the fellas that have probably done most of the hurling so far this year, and they'd be very happy with their form. Probably have made a decision to say, listen, let's throw in the other lads and let's see if they can sink or swim. And I suppose the pleasing thing is that Darrow O'Leary probably came out of it a good bit of credit, and Kieran Joyce came out of it with a good bit of credit as well. So they are two defenders, I think, that have been found, and they probably will be more or less, I'd say, starters barring injury now, or a real bad loss of form, which I suppose is a good thing. Like, you know, so you can look at it a couple of different ways. I hate giving anybody any impetus to be honest, but I made this point last year when we put in a very weak team. against Limerick and we got really badly beaten above in the Gaelic grounds, that you're trying to recover ground and you're trying to recover a bit of confidence. So whether it'll backfire now will depend on what happens next Saturday night against Kilkenny. And then again, of course, is it a phony one or is it a phony league? Like, I mean, I made this point the last time, 2 weeks ago on the podcast. I think Cork are in a difficult position if we get to the league final. If you get there, you want to win it. Then you're facing the All-Ireland champions a fortnight later. I know it's in Packy Queeve, but it's going to be, that's going to be a, I'm really worried about that game because Limerick will be gone away now for the next 4 weeks, right? There won't be a geek about them. And I think they're going to come to Packy Queeve with all guns blazing in the championship. So that's going to be a very difficult scenario for Cork now. And the biggest question is whether they're going to go for it or not against Kilkenny next Saturday night. And I was listening to Liam. You made a very valid point on the Sunday game 2 weeks ago when you said that 2 weeks is too short. And it should be the top two teams in either side of the division should be straight into the final. Because we had a no contest yesterday in Wexford Park, which probably, okay, that's just the way it materialised. But it did materialise. And it was a nutting game as far as Cork were concerned. Anyway, you know, Wexford, obviously, the fact that they were at home would want to win. I wouldn't blame them. They were dead right to do that. And they went at Cork from the get-go. But I think Cork have a difficult decision to make now, whether they're happy enough for what they have and will they go flat out of the match against Kilkenny next Saturday night or not.
But what's good, TJ, is that we have a Munster and a Leinster team meeting in both semi-finals. So in that sense, maybe we'll get less shadow boxing. Do you know that you're not going to be meeting them immediately in the championship anyway?
Yeah, potentially. look, with regard to the league overall, first of all, I'm probably like a lot of GA people up and down the country. I think in its current format, it doesn't really work. But I don't know what the solution is either. You know what I mean? So it's a tricky one, how to work out what is the best league. Like Liam said there, play the top two teams in the final. But then you end up in the last round with a load of dead rubbers, effectively, which you don't want. And people like Galway Clare yesterday was one. Effectively, the Dublin match was a bit of a dead rubber because of their scoring average. You know, and then you always had the teams like Limerick always had that, I suppose, that belief that they would beat Offaly the final game of the season. So it wasn't going to put them with pressure. Even the likes of Antrim, yeah, and Tip, yeah. Like they beat Antrim. But I would say even the likes of Antrim and Offaly in that game yesterday had an eye big time on next weekend because it's a big game. There was no major advantage for them to play well yesterday. So it's a tricky one. In relation to Kilkenny, like see, the way the calendar's fallen, right? So you had the last round of the league the weekend just gone, right? So you have a potential semi-final coming. The following week, you have a final coming. Then you have a one-week break. And then followed by two championship matches, right? So if you take that window, right, where you've got five games where you're going after, which are first
two
team...
Weeks, you have 2 weeks break, though, TJ, haven't you?
2 weeks no, sorry, break. One weekend off.
No, two.
Two-week break, two-week window, like.
Oh, yeah, but it's only one weekend off.
Weekend off.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
one
weekend off.
Yeah, it's only one weekend where you don't play. So yeah. What I'm saying is if you get to the league final... No. The last four teams that are left, right? The point I was making about Kilkenny is their championship start isn't as difficult on paper as the other teams, right? So, like, the concern would be getting to a league final that if things didn't work out for you, you only have literally a week. And everyone knows there's a taper week into championship anyway, literally a couple of days. And if you have a very tough league final, you can't really train hard that the week afterwards. So you don't really have any window to fix anything or go change. And so if something doesn't work for you, so... Are the teams going away now with, let's say, 3 weeks of a training block guaranteed, go and get a challenge match and be prepared? Are they better off or are the teams? And that's why it's been turning out to be a bit of a phony war. Look, it's still a national competition. There are teams in here, I'm sure, that winning a league would be great for them. It's always good for confidence. And I do agree with you. I think there's a nice four left. And I think, looking at the four of them, I think the four of them would want to win it. I don't see any reason as to why they won't. I don't think the weekend coming you'll see phony teams. I think they'll go after it. And I just said, as I said, looking at it, the bookmakers are making Waterford favourites at the moment with Cork second favourites. And then to balance the two form teams, let's say maybe over the last 2 weeks, Kilkenny getting stronger and stronger as weeks go on, their third favourites. And Wexford, the team who completely unbeaten, Mark, are outside as a four. So that'll probably just tell you enough about where the league is at.
Can you explain that? Like, yeah, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that they're outsiders of the four. But I like, I just, the only difference of the four teams that are left in the semi-final, TJ, is that Cork are playing Limerick in the first round of the championship. And that is monumental.
And Wexford have to play Galway, like.
Exactly.
Wexford playing Galway,
Is the Waterford tip game below in Welsh Park?
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we show Waterford are 4 points up, 5 points up before they even start, like, because that place is a graveyard for teams. I guarantee you, they'll probably collect the 4 points down in Welsh Park. They'll be very, very hard to beat in Welsh Park. I can tell you that much now.
Not in recent years, Mark. Not in recent years. Not in recent years. It hasn't been since the round robin came in.
Is Liam Cahillan beaten in Welsh Park?
Might be in the league, you see. But last year we were back to neutral venues, and the year before with the COVID. But in the 2 years of the round robin, had we 2 years or 3 years of the round robin, Liam?
Yeah, but they didn't play any match down in Welsh Park because
Clare definitely beat them down there.
Clare beat them in the first match in 19.
Yeah. Limerick beat him down there.
Limerick beat him in 19.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, this is a Landers rumor out there, lads, that they're 4 points down.
I think the year before Dalo,
Walsh Park was ruled as not being allowed as a venue.
There was works going on there, wasn't there?
There was works going on. So I don't think that. I think they had to concede home venues in.
Yeah, they played G in Limerick, didn't they?
Sorry?
They played G in Limerick today, the Aston goal.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, so, as you said, they've only had, in the round robin, they've only had 19 there. Yeah, but Mark, you're right. Like, you know, Waterford will fancy themselves to beat Tip or anyone because, like, I mean, they've beaten Tip in the league down there 2 years. They've beaten Limerick down there in the league. So they feel that they've good form down there in the league. But ultimately, you know, Tip will go down. They'll have, you know, that'll be their massive match. I think if Tip are to have a real cut-off Munster, I mean, winning that match down there could give them a lift of a significant nature, you know. But look, we all know that, you know, the manager that was probably wanted is on the other sideline, so they shouldn't lack for motivation going down there. And it's a massive match. And you know, if Waterford go on and play the league semi-final and the league final, you'll definitely know exactly their style of play, how they're going to set up, what format they'll have, so you can study them inside out. You've got all your time, you can have your camp, you can have your build-up. So Tip right now can very easily call out their schedule from now until the, I think it's the 16th of April. They can call out that schedule. Yeah. John Kiley can call out his schedule. In Clare and Cork and Wexford and in Kilkenny, you're sitting there this morning saying, okay, I think TJ's right. You can build for next week and you'll get two massive matches next week because you can go hell for leather. Next week's matches are ideal for preparation because you're 3 weeks out from the championship. You can go absolutely hammer and tongs at it and see where you're at and see where your team is at. I think if Cork have Kilkenny coming to town next weekend, I think Cork would want to win that match because it's in Parky Cueve. That's where they're going to it's like a trial of your championship format. So I think that's perfect. But I think the challenge is then when you get there, then you have to win it. And if not, somebody's going to get to see you twice in top class competition to understand exactly what you're like. I'd say it honestly, Dalo. I mean, when we got a chance to see Clare playing Waterford in Turles, it gave us huge insights into how Clare set up in terms of where John Conlon was going to play. So we had a fair idea how Clare wanted to play. And I had a whole week then to try and say, well, how do we map our game on? And by doing that, limit how Clare want to set up.
So I'd say Brian Lohan be the first one in his car heading to Walsh Park, like with Tip the following week.
100%. 100% you will. So like there's real value in seeing exactly how, because you know, we're not in a game where you can change your structure week in, week out. You can just say we'll change it next week. Now we're playing a different team. So, you know, you are going to find a situation where like it is different. Managers have to think differently now about the transformation from league to championship. And no matter what any of these four managers do next Saturday night, ultimately they'll all be judged on whether their team makes the Leinster final three or the Munster final three.
The flip side, Liam, is that for Waterford then, right, for playing Tip in the first round, like Tip are going away now, as you said, with that certain block of exactly what they're going to do, right?
Yeah.
There's probably a lot of unknowns about the Tip team, which Waterford won't have prepared for because they won't know what's coming down the track. And whereas the flip side is, like, Callum and the boys will have had a good look at Waterford now. They'll probably have a fair idea of what first 15 is coming down the track. A little bit the same with Limerick, even Della, right? Cork will have to play probably more or less full strength next Saturday night. They will be what they will be. Whereas Limerick, there's probably, maybe things that they can look at now, right? The fact that they played Mike Casey at fullback with Dan Morrissey at left halfback, there's a possibility now of, let's say, a move up the field with a couple of reshuffles. So yeah. whether they happen or not, right? In that window, like if Cork were to get to a league final, right? In that window, which is a very short window, they will have to prepare for all those uncertainties or unknowns. They won't be able to say, right, well, Kyle Hayes won't be centre forward or Keane Lynch won't be midfield. So there'll be a lot more unknowns. And that's the point that Liam is making about you probably are showing your hand effectively if you get to a league final. Now, the reward is a national title, but is it just to the losing team, you've showed your hand. That's effectively it.
Yeah, and even from a clear point of view, like, you know, we have a free week as well, the first weekend, I think, which is no harm. Because you know your block now and you have an even longer block and you can probably go a bit harder now in the early 2 weeks of it. And the news breaking over the weekend is Shane O'Donnell is coming back and is in good shape. And
see that.
Peter Duggan got the game under his belt yesterday. Mm-hmm. Not so good on Dermot Ryan, I'm hearing, but you know, sometimes these injuries can come back a bit quicker. But just on that, Liam, I want to ask you about Tip, Liam. I'd say Matty Kinney and Brian Lohan were the first two probably on the phone to each other today anyway, or maybe last night, because it's going to be very difficult, like, for to say that Clare will play Cork. You know you're going to be playing them in a few weeks.
Yeah.
We just played Galway yesterday. You probably might have a rematch with them maybe as your last match. The four teams that are in the semi-finals may have no interest in a challenge match. So say Clare Dublin is a definite one anyway that you'll be looking for. It'd be difficult after that. Wanted to organise your A versus your B's will be the big thing, Liam.
Yeah, and I think Tip versus Dublin is a potential runner too, as you said. But it's the teams that are in the middle tier, province against province, is going to be more suited. But I tell you, you know, you can imagine what 15v15s are going to be like in a place like Limerick. You know, because I mean, I think, you know, you have the likes of Mike Casey coming back in. You have Colin Coughlin pushing for a place. Oisin O'Reilly and Adam English and some of these guys are looking to put their hands up. So the strength of your panel is going to be important here because, you know, no matter what you do, I think it's the internal matches that you're going to have and the camp that you'll have where you really go 15 on 15 is going to tell a lot. So I think they're huge.
You could do a look down on it and it kind of backfired on him. I mean, his last year, we did 25 nights out of 28, including the weekends. And we literally weren't able to walk against Tip below. But he thought, of course, the old soldiers had come out to us again. But there was nothing left. Just backfired. He didn't get it wrong too often, though, I'd have to say. We'd come off a bad league and kind of just saying,
yeah,
it's my last year. I'm giving this one unmerciful goal.
Yeah.
It probably backfired, doesn't it? Any talk last night, Liam? I see the McGraths seem to be back in form. Mark Keogh. Now, I know Antrim had an eye on next week. I'd say Darren had seen Neil McManus and a couple more. And it's an eye on what is maybe the most important game next weekend. And we'll get to that. But the vibes from Tip, is there certain patterns beginning to develop that we might see in 4 weeks' time?
Well, look, I think the big thing for Tip is you know, you've probably seen yesterday that, you know, James Quigley looks like he's going to be, you know, handed a, he looks like he's in pole position to win the full back race. I mean, James comes up trumps. That's a big plus because that releases Ronan out and means Ronan can operate. Ronan, you know, the talk is that Ronan was exceptional again yesterday. You know, he's a top-class hurler. It's Seamus Kendi and Robert Byrne, our own club man, doing very, very well. Craig Morgan, you know, it was only a question of when with Craig. Really good. And like Cathal
Barrett.
Cathal Barrett
in the other corner.
You look at that six and, you know, obviously the goalkeeping will be a shootout, you know, in terms of Barry Hogan and Brian Hogan. But, I mean, that's a good solid six. And Dan McCormack, Barry Heffernan and Alan Flynn, you'll have a good three or four to pick from in the midfield sector. And then Conor Bowe looks like he's really making good strides. I thought he was very good in Walsh Park before he went off injured. But the key thing, you know, Jason Ford, Mikey Breen, like these guys can all play. And if you can get, you know, Mark Hugh and Jake Morris are the young guys that are coming in that give them a little bit of pace and a bit of energy. But, I mean, you know, if you have John McGrath firing to the level that John McGrath can fire, he got 2-3 yesterday. If that was enough to really kickstart this man's season, like, he can be a huge player. Like, he's an exceptional talent who is, you know, if he can just find his real form. And look, like, Noli can just orchestrate things. You know, he was in at 11 yesterday, but, I mean, he was very good in Championship last year. Again, he's an ability to be able to get on ball and, you know, we talk about him being in the Tom Brady stakes. But so, like, when you weigh all that up, Dale, And Colm, in fairness to him, has looked at a lot of talent over the course of the league, you know, and I think the league was structured well in terms of his ability to get a look at players over the course of the league. So he's now got to go away, and I'm sure there'll be lads, and great to see Bonner Maher coming back on the pitch again yesterday. You know, what a warrior. He's back from injury again after two horrific setbacks. So, you know, there's a lot of young talent coming in. There's a lot of older guys there that are there long enough now to really take the lead on. Because, you know, going to championship without Seamus Callan, Paddy Maher and Brendan Maher is a big ask. But I think Colm has, you know, if he can really get that competitive streak into his internal matches over the next 4 weeks, you'd have to say, you know, we'll be outsiders, as I said, everyone. You know, but they got seven yesterday. If they could get one or two down there, you know, I think it gives them a chance, you know. So Tipham Waterford generally in championship are always, you know, there's never that much between them, you know. So I think, you know, the glass might be a little bit more fuller than maybe what people are thinking when you look at the talent that's there. And as I said, there's an ambitious group still in there. So there's a lot of people that will probably need to come hard over the next 4 weeks. But if that's the case, we should have a good solid team and a good backup behind them going to Walsh Park in 4 weeks' time.
Yeah, and I'd say you only have to go back maybe 4 weeks, three, 4 weeks to, you know, we look at how Kilkenny are going at the moment, and everyone is beginning to sit up and say, Jesus, hang on, you're like TJ Beck on top of what's there at the moment, but Tip beating them in Turles. And I don't think, Liam, I think he can travel to Waterford with a fair old 26. I know Mark has given the match to Liam Cahill's men already, but I think he'll go with a bit of interest. TJ, you went to Killarney last weekend. Is there any truth that you're flying out to Portugal tomorrow morning from Shannon for a week's hot weather training? Because the weather wasn't great in Killarney, I heard.
Yeah, I was away for the week, Dale, so I'm not privy to anything that's going on. I must just make my context. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to do it before the show.
But I back up your statement, Dale, if that's any consolation. I back up.
You heard it. Even though you weren't checking, you heard it, Leo.
To touch on Tip there, what Liam just said, like with all those young, with all those guys,
they weren't long turning out like the Cork crowd, Liam, were they?
I go back to Limerick. What I will say with all the youngsters that Liam has named for Tip there, right, if they were to go and win the first round of a championship, it would just give them an awful lot of confidence for the rest of the championship. To win the first round of the championship as a young team, I know in my own days, going back a long time ago, just for a young team, if you win first day out, it just does wonders for the whole thing and set it up. Now, to answer your question is, look, with the league campaign that we had, we're going to need all the help that we can get. We have a Cork team flying in a league semi-final, probably will win, be favourites to win the weekend. So we need all the help we can get. There are plenty positives in terms of Mike Casey being back, right? The defence will be fine, I think, right? We have plenty of players there. But I'm not so sure that John will have been maybe as excited or whatever that he's found all the solutions to up top. There's an awful lot of players at the same level. I couldn't even tell you now who will take Peter Casey's position in the forward line. Like, there's a possibility he will go back to Graham. The other players hasn't really... I think that it's much of a muchness. And that's not been hard on any of them. I think they've all played well, but I don't think anybody has kind of nailed their colours to say that number 15 shirt is mine. Cathal O'Neill has been a good find during the league. He's more of an out-the-field player rather than an inside forward. They've tried a couple of other players there. So that's the challenge for them. I suppose one of the things that Limerick face is there a reshuffle? Is there something different? Is there something different that we can see with the puck outs? And I suppose that's the piece, Mark, that you're going to have to wonder about and try and hear all the stories that are going on, because Limerick are going to go away now. Yeah, they'll probably play one or two games, maybe against a Galway or let's say somebody else is at a Leinster, and find out exactly what structure they need. What are the chances of Kyle Hayes going centre forward? I'd say that it has to be strong enough at this stage or some place in the forwards just to change it up because of what we have in the backs.
Yes, listen to me for a finish, like.
I think so, Dale. You've been banging that drum, but that's the reality. Like I said, it was a good win yesterday, but like how much can you read into it? And that's, again, that's not saying anything. I said Offaly had an eye on next weekend. That's a big game for them, but they did what they had to do. But overall, and I think John has come out and said that he wouldn't have been overly pleased with the league campaign that he just had. They would have been trying to be, I'd say, definitely a bit better and more competitive. So yeah, plenty questions and plenty to ponder there for him, for that, no sure. And Mark said last night, we're drifting all the time. I think, are we even money now, Mark?
We're around 5-6 anyway. I was saying last night, I think you're getting to a stage where you're probably a bit of value now at the moment. Because I still think you're the team to beat, TJ. And I think going on past experience and this up, they go back to 98. I remember, as you know, Dale, we played Clare in the semi-final of the league, had an 8-point victory with Antibes Waterford in the league final. We were cock-a-hooping in a couple of weeks later. And then we beat Limerick, actually, in the first round, and then got clipped by Clare in the semi-final. A right bad beating, to be honest with it. But it set us up for the future, I suppose.
That was the day we jumped the rope. Remember the rope there in Thurles? You were supposed to go around it. But we jumped the rope, and Jimmy Barry and Dr. Conn were in front of me, and I said, get out of life. and Jimmy famously said to Conn, we're in trouble here, Conn. Well, fair play to you. You weren't long winning the All-Ireland anyway. It didn't take you long. So, I'd say, Mark, when you've done the tour from Cork City down as far as Dungarvan, Clecton and Statemen, I'd say you could put it all on Limerick. 5-6
Yeah, I'd be, there were 6-4 to win the All-Ireland last year. Like, if they'll go evens, you'll certainly have to be putting the hand in the pocket, I would say, because they've done it last year, didn't have a brilliant league. They haven't gone away. And I think the first round coming to Parky Cueve, they won't be looking past that. It's like the club championship. When you get your draw at the start of the year, you have about 4 months to prepare for the first round. Everybody's all in on the first round. Once you win the first round, your ears start to take off. And I think it could be a difficult situation for Cork to deal with if they'll get to the league final. That's my own view at this point in time.
Dello, we spoke about William Mullins and Patrick and Paul Townend having the ability to get it right for the big championship events, right? So I think the challenge for these management teams now, with the sports science and S&C that's available and the loads that they have, and your old eye on that 15-on-15 as to who's putting his hand up, that's really going to determine a lot of what happens now and Easter weekend. So that's a big challenge. And as I said, I just don't see Limerick being as far ahead of the group judged on 2022 form at the moment. So I just think they're going to have to find that improvement. Now, they could, and I hope they do, but I'm saying they're going to have to find it.
Yeah, when you're finished talking each other down, sure, we'll see up or down.
That's reality.
The live game, Liam, I enjoyed it. There was a championship bit of a cut to it, wasn't there? Like Kilkenny had to win, they knew Dublin would probably win, so they had to get the win. Waterford certainly left off a few names and looked a bit leggy, but at the same time, I think if Austin Gleeson had taken his time a little bit more, he didn't realise how much time he had when the ball was popped inside. I think that would have put him 6, if not 7 ahead at that stage. I might have put a different slant. I don't know, did Killian Buckley's shot take a deflection as the camera work?
Yeah, I couldn't see it.
Yeah, it would have fancied Billy Nolan to save it from there. It might have taken a nick even off maybe one of his own lads, you know. So, but there's no doubt about it. Kilkenny, we'll say with Keen Kinney in the middle of the field with David Blanchfield and with this Mikey Butler, like he did some job on Desi Hutchinson yesterday. And Desi might be still only coming around after the club final and all that, you know. But added to that now with the form, and Jackie alluded to it last night, and I suppose we're not all blind, but in the last two games against Dublin, outstanding after a slow start in Parnell Park, Walter, like, and Parik Walsh putting over Pine. Every time he shoots, now if he takes 6 shots in a game, he's definitely getting 5 points, or, you know, 5 shots, 4 points. So, with Billy Ryan really showing form as well, I'd feel, you know, Killian Buckley now sort of playing as a fourth half forward, if you like. Maybe a quasi with Parik making 3 in the middle of the field and shooting from distance, and they're leaving Billy Ryan and Mossy Keown inside. They have a few to come off the bench. They have TJ Reid to come back. I know it might tighten him for the first couple of games in Leinster, but let's face it, they do have Westmeath and Laois, and you'd be expecting the windows. So, Jesus, they've become a different proposition out of a shot, haven't they?
Yeah, they do. And again, I seen him against Tip and Thurles, and I said, oh, I really feared from if someone asked me that day who was going to be the team that was going to lose out in Leinster, in terms of, you know, let's call it straight, you know, you'd call it 4-3, is how you call it, and I said I don't see it happening, and to watch them against Dublin and Parnell Park the last day, like, you know, I think that the changes they've made. Like, in fairness, Hugh Lawler is a colossus at fullback. There's no doubt about it. Pádraig Welch is making a real impact. And like David Blanchfield, you know, like, I haven't seen many players go and fetch ball overhead, Danny Sutcliffe said, and really make it an uncomfortable outing. Now, I know Danny might have been a little bit subdued by his standards, but at the same time, David Blanchfield, you know, he's rangy. He's the type of player that you could see would really play to Cody. And I think he's really...
No Paddy Deegan there either. And Owen Cody, when he came off the bench, the point he scored from the one he picked under the sideline. Like, but Paddy Deegan, for me, has been one of the players of the league as well for them. And they could afford to put Richie Reid in there.
And Paddy Deegan was very, very good in that role in Parnell Park. I thought he really just covered up and shored up everything. So if they get their spine right down the middle, having a guy like Walter Walsh playing to his potential, like, he hasn't really found in the last year or two. But he looks like he's back and his mojo's back again. And, like, he's a huge player for them because he gives them a different dynamic. His power, his ability to win ball, like, he's the dream of a half forward because of the work he can get through. And I think in one of these championship matches, Billy Ryan's going to hit the back of the net 3 times. I have been hugely impressed with him. He was outstanding against Tipperary in a team that wasn't playing well. He was their one shining light. He got his goal yesterday. But I think there's a few goals in this guy in championship. I've always looked at him and he's been sort of hovering around it. But I think this could be the year where it does actually happen for him in championship. And I think if it does, it'll be a massive lift. But Kilkenny, I'll tell you what, Taylor, they're far from gone away. And you know, look at Waterford. Waterford have a really, really strong panel. Like, Waterford could leave off 5 players and they'll bring in, like, they've got really good work ethic. Mikey Beavins and Liam Cahill have put a really good work ethic into the group overall. So, you know, even if they leave out 3 and bring in 3, they're not really, you know, held back by the 3 that comes on. Their bench, they'll have 23 or 24 players going to the first round of the championship, well able to perform. The question is, can they get that level of peak performance across everyone on the pitch? That means they're going to win a trophy in, be it a Munster championship, and that is the challenge that they've got to work through. And I think Dublin are lucky that they're out of the league, because I actually think, looking at them, you know, myself and Shane Dowling commented on this, like, they're working off the same pool of players. I think they know they're very, Matty knows his style. He knows exactly how he wants to play. He'll be able to get his challenge matches and fine-tune it. But I think they actually need to freshen up that group for championship to have any chance. And I think they didn't need another match or two. Because, as I said, they're using the same torque. They don't have that backup. They nearly cost them the match with Tip. You know, with 13 minutes to go, they brought on they emptied the bench and they hardly scored afterwards. So, Kilkenny have really surprised me in the last few weeks. And they've gone from being where I thought they were, no chance of qualifying, to saying, geez, these boys are far from gone away, which is a credit to the group and how they applied themselves down there.
And Mark, Liam, go on, TJ.
I was going to ask Liam one thing. What I thought, and looking at the TV yesterday, was there's definitely a change in style in Kilkenny, right? Like, before, they would have struggled with Tadhg Bourke sitting in the pocket the way he does, right? The way Kilkenny play and lump that ball forward, they struggled with that format, which are used to the ball in the last couple of games. There's definitely been a change in mindset in the way they play the ball to the inside forward, work the ball through the middle third. They're used to the ball. If you look at, now, David Blanchfield is definitely the best example of it, right? Every time he gets the ball, is that head up, right? So it's either a nice ball in, or a sharp ball, or a crossfield ball. There's definitely been a change in culture in the way Kilkenny play in recent times, without a doubt.
No question. And even the prime example was last night when the ball was put crossfield. They took out Tadhg Bourke. The ball was put across to Billy Ryan. Crossfield ball to Billy Ryan. He picked it, banged it over the bar. And that's I think Kilkenny have learned that, you know, they can't play it the old way where they used to just turf it down. I think they're far more tuned in to what other teams and how they're playing and how they break down other teams. And I think that's another big plus for them. I don't look, for a while they were so good. Maybe they were nearly asleep when it came to being tactically aware of how the game was going on and how the game is evolving. But I definitely see a change. And I think the biggest change of all has been in this year's league. But personnel are really stepping up too, which is, as I said.
I think Buckley, this move of Buckley, lads, since the Tip game, like in Parnell and up, has changed a lot, I think. They can shove Walter into the middle, Buckley go for the high ones, wait till Reid is back. They'll still be able to go route one occasionally. And Murph will like that as well. You know, home games in Nolan Park, he will like going long. And they'll, you know, we all know that they're probably the best for a long, long time on breaking ball. And they'll go for their breaking ball. And there's a bit of a mojo. And Mark, you've kind of always championed them on this show. Would you nearly make them favourites to win Leinster now?
Jesus, it's an incredible turnaround, because I probably was in the Liam camp a couple of weeks ago as well, because we were saying who's going to be the three come out of there, and we were probably putting Kilkenny out of it. They're very much back in it. And the one team that has probably slipped back a little bit is Galway, insofar that we thought they were fearsome at the very start, and now they look, you know, just if they have a going there, they can be very good, but you wouldn't really be overly concerned going in against them. But would I make Kilkenny favourites? Jesus, I think it's very difficult, Anthony. I must say, when you say Owen Cody and TJ Reid to come back into it, Paddy Deegan as well. They're three big names. A bit like, you know, the lads are from the Waterford team that were missing yesterday. They are very big names as well. But we all know what you're going to get from Kilkenny. You're going to get it hard, fair, no complaints, no moaning to the referee, no hard luck stories, you know. And as we all know, when Cody starts, you're in trouble then when that happens, you know. So from what I can gather, he was at his brilliant best, from what I can gather, on the sideline yesterday. Because I think Waterford had a rising coming, and they wanted to go to Nolan Park. And just wondering, have they given them a small little bit of an impetus? Because they are close neighbours, and Waterford have been excellent so far this year. Now, Caelum Lyons, obviously, and Jamie Barron are obviously long-term injuries. They're a bit like, you know, the best, your best players. They're wrapping them up in cotton wool. They must be afraid that they're going to break down, because they are serious players to have to come back in. And I don't know what the story. I didn't hear that rumor yet that Bennett is injured, Dale. But I need a can.
He's only rising. You don't
evening, I'll call him on it, because he's a big one. He's my captain on the fantasy team, so he's a massive, massive fella for me. But
Larry has Jason Ford, so he has to take him up.
Yeah. On the form displayed in the last two matches, and the fact that their stock is rising, I suppose, as the year is going on, you probably would be slipping them into favourites at the moment for Leinster, yes.
Yeah. And TJ, on that, I suppose we'd have, coming out of the Gaelic grounds, I suppose, on that Saturday night with the brilliant atmosphere, we would have had Galway, but then we'd have to consider Limerick's form then over the next couple of games, that it wasn't hectic. So, like, with Kevin involved, and I know he's not going to tell your state secrets, but like Tip, they have experimented a lot, haven't they, Galway? And I know it's been a very tough couple of weeks for Henry, and we've heard from Richie mostly after the matches, Richie O'Neill. But like, they'll need the challenge matches now to be set and under 15. And, you know, they'll be hoping that the Brian Concannons get right and those few things that need sorting. Now, I was very impressed the shape that, we'll say, Conor Cooney, Gerard McInerney, these guys were in that night in Limerick, seeing them in the flesh. But it's a funny one, isn't it? When you're experimenting, they're all good players. Like, when you go through them, Glennon, Monaghan, all these fellas, they're all very good players, great pedigree, all earning minor medals. And yet, you have to bet in at senior level as well. So again, the 15 and 15s there in Athenry and in Salt Hill will be huge.
Absolutely huge. And to go back to your previous question, first of all, is the powers that be make Galway favourites for Leinster. They have Kilkenny number two with Wexford three and Dublin four. That's the way they see it right now. I would say we'll probably learn a good bit more about Kilkenny the weekend. If Cork go full Allan Parky Keeve and Kilkenny come down and have a go at him, you could find Kilkenny could be favourites after the weekend. The Galway situation, I would say the thing they're probably most pleased with right now is their big players are playing well. Like, Dahi Burke is back to something near his best, a fullback. I know he made one or two mistakes, but he's back hurling well. Padraig Mannion is back hurling well. Joe Cooney. And I suppose the form of Conor Cooney has been a real plus, right? And then they've moved Cathal Mannion up closer to the goal, and he's getting loads of scores from play. Yes, they have plenty other good players around the place, and Concannon's back. Evan Nyland came on yesterday as to whether he starts or not. I know Marco's a big fan of his. So, like a lot of the other teams, they've had a good, strong look. And now it's back down to, like I said a while ago, it's that 15 on 15 and the eye, and as to who plays on the day. And I think the first round of the championship is important for Galway. They go to Wexford. It's not going to be easy. And if that didn't go your way, you're on the back foot. But there's probably a championship game if you're planning a weekend away, Dello. I would say Kilkenny and Galway in Salt Hill. That's your one. Get up early on Saturday night because traffic will be mad. Have a few beers on the Saturday. Have a few beers on the Saturday night. We might meet you up there. I'll
be better. It'd be better again, TJ, if RTE paid me to be there.
Oh, if RTE paid you to be there, even better. Yeah.
just on Galway.TJ. I think Galway have a bit to work on for the next. Like they got no goal data in the four matches of note. Like so that. You know, 23 points against Cork, 25 against Clare, 27 against Limerick, and 15 against Wexford. And to me, they have one of the best full forwards in the country. And I don't know, have they got a game plan that gets him quality? I watched the Cork and Galway match, and I was watching the ball and supply that Patrick Horgan was getting from Cork into his line. And I was watching the supply of ball that Connor Whelan was getting. Like honestly, like I'd say the man must come in at times at half time or full time saying, lads, will you just give me in? Like every ball that went in, there was two on top of him. He was getting no ball where he could go out. And like the man has an incredible ability. He's a low center of gravity, which means he can get down low, grab a ball, and he has you on the turn. I mean, he got a goal off Ronan Maher above in the league against us. And I said, I was nearly applauding. Like it was an incredible goal. Like the chap, I think, is just pound for pound, he's a really, really good player. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know. Do Galway have a plan to get to get quality ball in front of this guy, 20, 30 yards from goal, where he's one on one, or even if there was a lad hanging around there, he'd be still okay. And I think that's their big challenge because I don't think you won't win Leinster, you won't come out Leinster unless you won't win in Wexford if you can't get goals. So I think they've a bit of work to do on the training ground, in my view, because I see other teams. Limerick have a plan to get quality ball in to get goals. You know, tip of a route to goal. Cork will get good quality ball in, and I just think Galway, if they find that path to goal through him, I think as you said, they're in good nick, and I think they're playing for this man.
Yeah, they definitely are. Yeah, I think just to qualify that, didn't Galway win the All Ireland, Liam, in 2017? I think without scoring a goal. I think that's what Galway people will tell us back. But I do think the way teams are playing, you do need goals. But they've had a look at a lot of forwards, and they have a lot of different options, I think. And as I said, the big players, like for the last year or two, for me, probably didn't play well enough. I just don't think they got enough out of them. And I do see that they're better players are back to some sort of form, I think, which will be a plus. I'm sure Henry, over the next four weeks, they will be working on that. And I just to quite that point as well, in the Limerick game, even though they won it, they got some nice ball into Conor Whelan, but he was on his own at times, Liam. I definitely saw that in the Gaelic grounds for sure. Yeah. So look, at this moment in time, they are the favourites to win Leinster. No, they didn't win it over the last 2 years. Like, so yeah, let's see after the weekend.
Yeah, and we won't mention Clare because Lohan sends me a text there every Monday to say, well done, Dale. No, great mention it again, like, you know, but we won't be training at all, lads, for the next 4 or 5 weeks there. We're sending Tony Kelly to Lourdes and hoping for the best there. I know things tipping away okay for Clare, I'd say. You know, I'd say he's happy enough. Again, the couple of games now and he doesn't need any more injuries like Aidan McCarthy, Dermot Ryan, probably the two best of the younger fellas. You know, if they're 22 or that now, like, he'd need them, and whether we'll have them back now is very doubtful. Great success with the likes of Shane Meehan. Hopefully Mark Rogers gets back. Ryan Taylor outstanding yesterday, 5 points in play.
Yeah, 5 points in play, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, and Dougie, they played him in the county league last week for Clooney, and he shot the lights out, I think, Peter Duggan. Now, obviously, it's a step up and he needed the game. But things beginning to look settled in the back line for Clare if Dermot Ryan could get back, you know, in terms of John Conlan being back there, the full back line with Rory Hayes and Conor Cleary and Paul Flanagan settled, Ever Quilligan settled. So, yeah, I'd say it's still a glass kind of half full for Clare. I think that a lot will depend, I suppose, on Tip Waterford, really. If Tip didn't go well in Waterford, Clare would fancy going to Thurles fresh, you know. They won the last time they had to go there in the round robin. And, you know, they just maybe would say, we've two in Ennis, two in Thurles, lads, because Cork are obviously giving up. You've Ed Sheeran, Marco, so you're giving up the home advantage there. So you're not worried about us. But look at it. You know, we've had a great hour between Cheltenham and everything else. I suppose, look, we have to just talk about the overall structure of the league. And the relegation match, obviously, like, very, and you had a connection with them, Liam, recently enough with the Antrim lads, I suppose. And obviously with with Darren being there as well. And obviously yesterday they probably said, look, not now of it. We have to get ready for the following week and we will have Offaly. And maybe Mick Finlay said much the same as well. Now, watching some of the defending for the goals last night, you'd be worried, and we didn't even see the tip goals. So you'd be worried maybe there as well. But obviously they'd be level enough and they will be meeting in the Joe McDonagh again. But like Jackie said last night, it's probably a bigger game than the Joe McDonagh game even, to stay up there. And I know there's a few hidings involved, but Antrim, to be fair to them, have shown that they can, especially in Corrigan Park, that they can come out and really put it up to teams. And, you know, played well in Nolan Park as well this year early on. And I suppose just the few misses against Laois have haunted them coming down the stretch there when they probably should have saw out the game against 14 men. But it's hard to find a solution, Liam, isn't it, overall, to the little gap that's there. And maybe it's more than a little gap, you know. But it's hard, like, even when the 1B was the next level down, lads, and I remember being relegated with Dublin and ourselves and Limerick and Wexford were the three down there with the three so-called weaker teams, right? And, I mean, we had a ferocious relegation battle with Galway the previous year to not go down there, like, because for Dublin, hurling was going to be a disaster. But Wexford weren't going so well, I think, in 13. We beat them handy enough and Limerick beat them handy enough. So ourselves in Limerick in Croke Park was nearly... Limerick won us, but it was a shootout to meet again. And then Dublin won the League 1B final in Thurles later on in the year. So was that the solution either? I'm not so certain. But it's hard to come up with a solution, isn't it? With these hidings last year. I know Shane O'Brien came out last year and he said, although we got the hidings in Westmeath, we stuck with the plan and we won the Joe McDonagh. But you kind of fear for him in the Leinster Championship now as well.
Yeah.
With their form is topsy-turvy in the 2A of the league. They are into the semi-final versus Kerry and Down. What a victory for Down above in Ballycran. Great story for Ronan Sheehan's men. You know, the three clubs in the peninsula there providing nearly all the players. And but it is hard to know where we can come up with a solution.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, I know that if you talk to anyone that's involved in Antrim, like they do love the fact that, you know, Clare or Waterford or Kilkenny or any of those coming up to them, like that matters. I mean, you see the swarm of kids that was around Aston Deason after the final whistle when they're losing. Like, I mean, you know, you just have to ask yourself, what is that doing for the game at grassroots level in Antrim? You know, if you're getting in to meet your heroes. So, you know, I'm sure you remember going into Ennis when your heroes were playing in there in the 60s.
Unless they brought me as a baby in the last year of it.
They were baptized in there, I'd say, if you ask me. You were so lucky in there. But honestly, it does mean something. So, like, they love playing the top teams. And as you said, like, after four matches, I think they were minus 10 points. So, like, it's not, they were really competitive. And, you know, so, like, it's a massive match for both counties because Offaly and Antrim would like to be, you know, we go back to the late 80s and these teams were in All-Ireland semi-finals and finals. So, like, they do have an ambition to be really competitive and they like playing the top teams. And they don't, you know, they don't go out to get, like, yesterday what happened, you'd have to say, it doesn't normally happen to Antrim team. So, as you said, the eye was on, yeah, a big, massive game next weekend. So it is a big game, but I think it shows you, I would say there's probably more drive and energy and enthusiasm in winning next Saturday night's match than there might be in some of the other matches that could be still left in the competition because they want to be pitting themselves. That's where they want to see themselves going long term. And to get there, they need to be pushing themselves in against them on a regular basis. And I think Antrim would rather have three matches in Corrigan Park next year against top class opposition then find themselves back down there, and I'm sure Offaly would say the same. So, you know, it's a hard one to fix, but, you know, because you only have, you know, you're hovering between 8-10 teams, 10-12 teams, 12-14 teams, you know, you've got some great you know, there's always going to be the great debate, but I think what you'll see next weekend is two teams that will fight on their backs to remain in the top tier because they want to be playing against top class opposition. So I think that aspect of it, I think what Antrim has been exposed to in the last 2 years by being in the top tier has been good for Antrim hurling in its long term because they're up there, they're 2 hours away from Dublin and even further if you go up to the very tip of it. So, you know, As I said, they'll fight in their backs, but it's going to be some battle.
Any news on where that's been played, Liam?
No, but I expect somewhere like Parnell Park, you'd expect next weekend is what you'd expect. I mean, if you're talking about Offaly, and that's probably, you know, I'm sure there'll be somewhere like that.
Be great if they threw it into Croker, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
The league semi-finals are not going to be there. You know, it would be lovely, I think, for both of them to be exposed. I think it's a steep learning curve for Offaly as well. Like, you're coming from 2A, you're coming from Christy Ring. And I just said, some of the defending, the amount of goals they've conceded, like, and Mick is probably delighted in one way, I think, that there's a reality check for the Offaly people who thought, well, Michael Dygan is doing great work. We've Mick Finlay over our hurling team. We have John Mahan, Tomás O'Shea over our football team. We won the 2020 All-Ireland football. And, you know, but for them as well, I think it's, as you said, like, what would be great now is a very good Offaly minor team, or Antrim minor team, 20 team. I believe this Offaly minor team is really good, TJ, with Leo and Charles.
Under 17 team.
That's the way forward, lads. And to be, as you said, to be going to those games, Liam, like, my heroes were the 70s team that won back-to-back leagues and were very unlucky in 2 Munster finals. They're a great Cork 3-in-a-row team. And to even go to Kirkcastle training to see Johnny Callanan put a love of hurling into me, you know, and that kind of thing. So it's probably the only way forward.
The other point is when they were playing Kilkenny, I think the minor squad or the under 17 squad were down playing Offaly on their way down to the game, and their under 20s team were playing Tipperary selection on their way down to the game. So you can't underestimate that either, that their 17s and 20s are going on down. And they're getting to see their senior team playing against Kilkenny. And, you know, held their own, as I said, only beaten by 3 points on the day. So as part of the bigger picture and for the overall development of where Antrim hurling is trying to get back to or go to in future years, it's big. And there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes to try and make that happen. But, you know, as you said, there's a lot on the line for both counties next Saturday night. It is the biggest game next weekend, I feel, without question.
They'll be a little bit disappointed, Liam, that they coughed up the match against Laois. Like, we would have always felt that was the game. They had very, very good form coming into the match because they'd taken Waterford very close. They'd played very well against Kilkenny for long spells. And, like, after Mark Kelly for Laois was sent off early in the game, it would have looked like they should have been able to close it out. Now they've definitely, the way yesterday went, it's even Neil McManus off and stuff like that, that they are totally all in on the Offaly game. But they'll be really kicking themselves if they get relegated this year, having left the Laois game. And not being disrespectful to the Laois lads, because Laois probably looked at that themselves, that they put everything into that game and they got their reward on their back, and they're still going to hold their status going into next year. But Antrim will be kicking themselves, I'd say, if they don't get a result next weekend.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. It was their most nervous performance, I would feel. You know, I watched some of the games online. The great thing about modern technology, you know, but if you look at the four matches, you know, they lost by a point. They were level with Dublin at half time, and Dublin pulled away and I think won by 5 or 6 in the finish. They were beaten by 3 points in Kilkenny. They lost by a point in Laois. And as I said, they were a point up with a few minutes to go. And yeah, they could have got across the line. And Waterford, it was a point and the penalty was saved and put over the bar. They would have made the match a draw. Yeah. So I suppose you have to look at it as well. Sometimes we look at the one match and say, okay, they didn't perform. There's no team that has gone through the league that hasn't had a flat performance. You know, I think that's the way it is. Because if you actually broke down those four performances, you'd say Laois or Antrim had a very, very good league overall. Mm. But unfortunately, you know, if you lose the match, you lose your head-to-head. You know, they were never going to show up yesterday. It was always about the following weekend.
Yeah, and we wish them both the best of luck. I think it'd probably be harder for Antrim, having gone out of the Liam McCarthy. You know, I wouldn't have thought that was a disaster once they remained in Division 1A, but now it's huge stakes. And as you said, Liam, the biggest game of the weekend. So, we won't solve it, as it's not easy, but when you come down to weekends like this, it can be a bit hard. You know, you see the Sunday game last night, you see probably 40 minutes hurling and, you know, an hour and 20 football. But I suppose there is more at stake. I think, like, what do they expect of hurling people? Like, we've changed our Munster and Leinster championships into round robin, like leagues. We still have the Fitzgibbon. We still have the early season tournament. and we have to have the All-Ireland played in July. It's not easy on team managers, whereas we know the narrative. I know it's about to change probably for next year, but that we know the narrative in the football, as the league is nearly more important now, except for the three or four teams that are winning the All-Irelands. Like, but league status and Division One is, and I know even down here in Clare, even though they lost by a point yesterday, I think it's going to be seven seasons in Division Two, which is massive, like, for Clare football, and the status going forward, and young fellas and building with Minor. And so not easy on hurling, because we used to be having maybe the Munster Championship as we knew it, one round, then into a back door, and you might have a bit of time to spare. You wouldn't be starting to the 29th of May, 6th of June-ish, maybe even a week later if you were in the semi-final. And then you really could go hell for leather for the league with maybe a seven-week break, you know, to get your house in order. So I think some of the criticism from some of the lads out there that have all the answers, and I'm not saying we have all the answers here, we certainly don't, but it's just that the system has changed this year, and I think it has led to a bit of this.
We did have one weekend. We had one weekend off, right? That maybe in hindsight, they might be better off not having that weekend off and keep going with the league matches. I think the one complaint that any team will have for the league this year is it's only 2 weeks from the final to the first round of the championship. That needs to change for next year. It needs to be a 3 week break, definitely. So either the week that we give off, that 2 weeks or last weekend, that needs to be used up, or else start a week earlier. And if you want to give a team a break or give the teams a break in the middle, fine. But the big takeaway for me is it has to be 3 weeks between the league final and the first round of the championship.
And is no semi-final the answer to that, maybe, Mark? Maybe just a straight final?
But I think he made a very valid point earlier on that you could have a couple of dead rubber. Yeah, you could have had a couple of dead rubber games, like, you know. So
nearly, you know, thank God the results went the way they did, Mark. That you hadn't a Kilkenny Wexford semi-final and a Cork Waterford semi-final. Maybe we're just so lucky the way the results went that we have a Munster Leinster clash either side. Yes.
True.
Yes.
Great take up in the racing club, lads. We're over halfway as full, I think, are we?
Well over halfway there. there was a couple of men hours put in. Yeah, I had to put in a lot of men hours there with Patrick Mulcahy there over the last couple of days, to be honest about it. So we had over 240 emails came in with requests for memberships, and we have over 300 members who have applied to get involved. So I suppose a couple of things that have come out of the the emails that came in is that we have members, a tip man living in New York. He's going to Aintree. He wants to meet up with us. I don't know whether you're going to be there or not, TJ, or maybe Liam, or you, Dalo. But we have a Clare man, originally from Clare, Dalo. He's living in Luxembourg. We have a Cork man living in Brisbane in Australia who's listening to us. A Limerick man who's living in London. And we have another Limerick man who's living in Abu Dhabi who listens to the podcast. There's one group of lads, there's eight members from one group. That's the biggest group that we have. We have a couple of threes and fours looking for just a bit of crack. It was a bit like the Flooring 40 Syndicate. There's five or six of those lads. And then we have, I would say we have a couple of memberships from Antrim, Kildare, Fermanagh, Meath, Westmeath, and Wicklow. So there's a lot of the gospel being spread up there as well, Dalo. And a very notable thing here now, right, is that there are two women have applied for shares for their husbands, and they confirmed it. So that's some bonus now. And it isn't either the three of you, I can tell you, now, that just to let you know that, like. So, I suppose one of the big things that did come out of the emails, right, is there's five or six fellas have emailed looking for further information on what the racing club is. So, I suppose, did you want to help me out here? But I suppose, in the essence of the whole thing, this racing club is a social club. It's been built on the ethos of a GA club, whereby you have a membership every year, and you're members of the club. All assets are held by the club. And if there's a dispersal of assets at the end of 3 years, 5 years, 55 years, it'll be only the paid-up members will be involved in that. There's an annual subscription of €200. We intend to have four horses involved, two from the National Hunt side, two from the flat side. As TJ mentioned in our meeting earlier on, and this probably should be our soundbite, is really this social racing club will bring you to places that you never thought you would be, and you will meet people also that you thought you'd never meet. And that has already happened for us. So with meeting Jim Bolger, there's no further costs. There's a percentage of the winnings. If we're lucky to win a few quid, it goes into the pot, into the race club. And we are going to be backing cancer research on that. We also had one member who was very interested in that, and he also suggested other charities, and we've no problem with that either. So he's mentioned the colitis and Crohn's, I think it's ISCC is the name of the charity. And of course, we would love to support that. So I think, TJ, you mentioned this is not a money-making situation. It's purely trying to give people an opportunity to have a membership or have an ownership, smart ownership, but in a horse, and it'll take you to places that you never thought you'd be, and it'll hook you up with people that you never thought. So, like, Dale, I never thought I'd get an opportunity to meet you on a regular basis. It looks like I'm going to have to do that now. Just a bit.
Yeah, well said, Mark. I don't have much more to add than that. I think it's important to know as well that like, there's no money in this syndicate for any of us either. This is basically, we're going to be members of the club, the same as everybody else. What I will say is, just going from last week, the amount of GAA people you meet at the races from all parts of the country who have a cross interest in GAA and in horses. And even for me last week, Mark, I met loads of people asking for you.
Is that a good outcome or a bad outcome?
Did you meet anyone, Liam, looking for him?
You can count me in, lads.
Yeah, oh, good super. Liam is in.
Oh, you could wind up in the committee. No, very handy. If you...
No, don't need any committee. I don't want any involvement. Just social. I'd like to go to places I've never been. I like that concept. Yeah.
Learning too many of them left. Good job. Hey, lads, for the small couple of langers on Twitter, and there's only a small couple who are tagging me saying, like, 100 grand, you must have a fair accountant, lads. There's no one making any money out of this. This is for crack. Charity, hopefully. And if you are lucky enough maybe to back one of the horses, you might make a couple of pounds. A charity will be benefiting from this, and we will have fun days and evenings out. That is the plan, okay? For anyone out there, the cynical mind.
So, look, there are 60% of the places are gone, and there's still emails coming in. I think it's info at comeonracing.ie to email in if you are interested in joining the club.
Just two small things, Mark, to add, right? There's a couple of the tracks and a couple of the trainers who said they'll host us all for some social days where we can go and see the horses training and a bit of crack and everything is. But just to kind of paint the final picture for your 200 euros for the year, your club, all of us are attached to a club of some form or another where we want to go and see our club playing on a given day, taking on the might of whoever it is, and your heart and soul is behind the club and you want them to win, right? Picture the situation. It's the Friday or the Saturday of the Galway Festival, right? We have a horse in one of the flat handicaps, right? There's about 450 of us in the stand and the horse has a chance, right? And coming down the hill, right? He's getting into position.
Let him go, Kevin.
Okay. That's the fun that we're chasing. And as I said, that's the way the club is set up. There's no money in for anybody, but we'd be good crack. Dilla, before you go, there's one brilliant character in Gary Splann GEA, and he reached the milestone of 90 this week. The great Snowy Heffernan. I think he's known all over the country. Just want to wish him a happy birthday. He's reached the great old age of 90 this week, and he's flying it.
That's Snowy.
Why Snowy? No better man. I want to give a quick shout out here as well. A few good buses there in the last week or two. We know podcast last Monday, obviously. Shout out to the Sly Ann hurlers who were on the stag. I hope the two bucks recovered sufficiently. And they got the Longford hurlers who were down in a training camp with Adrian Moran, one of our sponsors of our listeners' league. The Mary Eye lads who came for Cheltenham last Wednesday, their fourth year's Orla's crowd. And she came and worked. Fairness to give a shout out to Orla as well. while we were trying to pick winners, and they all wore their different jerseys. You had to wear a kind of a retro jersey. And TJ, I had your neighbours from Palace Green on Saturday evening after playing the Carlisle Juniors.
Great crack
with them. I don't think we'd any answer our junior team to Colin Ryan, but outside of that, we battled away with them. But great shout out to them. It was great crack for the evening. We the great Ellie Woodford, great young female vocalist coming up along here in Clare, who'll be heard of big time. We had her playing nice and early for the boys, and she fairly rocked the place. So a good week, good couple of weeks with the visiting teams anyway, and no trouble, thank God. That's the main thing.
Good.
It's my mother said. Great stuff, really Liam. Thanks so much for joining us.
How about it, Dale? Good talking, lads.
To have your expert opinion as always. Mighty stuff, lads. And we talk to you all after the semi-finals next week when Cork let off the handbrake again. And Marco is wearing a red tie here next Monday. Good luck.
Allianz. Supporting all 32 counties through the Allianz Leagues.